Do people trust political institutions anymore? Throughout Europe, we're seeing voters move away from the more establishment parties, and in some cases rejecting integration in favour of more nationalist movements. Why is this, and what does it mean for the future? On the phone with me are Professors Barry Eichengreen of the University of California, Berkeley, and Christian Dussmann of University College London. They are two of the authors of an e-book on Europe's trust deficit, its causes and its remedies, which is part of the CPR's Monitoring International Integration series. Professors Eichengreen and Dussmann, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello.
Thank you.
So to delve into this a bit more, what purpose did you have in mind when setting out to write the e-book?
I think many people, including the authors, are concerned about the polarization and fragmentation of European politics and the possibility of dwindling support for European integration. And the first step in addressing those concerns is to trace their extent and understand their nature and their sources. We're economists, so we are interested also in the extent to which these political changes are linked to or have roots in economic factors. And we're hopeful that we'll find an audience for our analysis among European politicians, the informed public.
Well, we have seen in recent years surging support for populist parties, not just in Europe, but obviously also in the US and other parts of the world. The European Union has been under particular strain after the Great Recession due to many factors. One of them was the Greek crisis, the refugee crisis, and then, of course, the Brexit crisis, which at the same time led to support of populist parties in many different European countries. So to better understand what is going on and whether the European institutions are indeed in a crisis and what can be done about it, we came together as a group of economists from different areas, from macroeconomics, political economy, labor economics, but there were also political scientists among us. So it's a combination of various angles under which we try to investigate this very important issue in this ebook.
And I would add economic historians as well.
Why is it important to understand people's trust in political establishments and institutions? And what do we generally mean when we talk about this kind of trust?
The way I think about that is that public policy fundamentally involves the delegation of power or the assignment of power and responsibility to officials by the people. And the people will be willing to delegate power and responsibility to officials only if they believe that it'll be used responsibly, only if they trust those officials to use that power well. If they lack that trust, they'll be reluctant to delegate responsibility. Public policy will be ineffective. The public sphere will be disorderly. And those are the circumstances under which people will seek a strong leader capable of restoring order. People will look for someone to blame.
The lack of trust in institutions is always a gateway for parties with a strong populist agenda. So to better understand the rise of populist tendencies that we have witnessed over the last decade, and in particular so over the last 5 years in many European countries, makes it therefore necessary to better understand what are the factors which led to an erosion of trust in national, but in particular also in European institutions.
Moving on to the research, what data sets did you look at?
One of the data sets we use is the European Social Survey, which has been in the field since 2002. It's a biannual survey with many interesting questions relating to trust and at the same time the possibility to link individuals who respond to their economic context. So we have very detailed regional information in those surveys, which allows us to link respondents' location to the economic circumstances in those locations. Another survey is the European Parliament Parliament's European Election Database, which gives information on election outcomes for the European Parliament, which we combine with data from the Chapel Hill Expert Survey in order to position each political party in terms of their hostility towards the European Union. Again, we combine that data set with macroeconomic indicators on a regional level, which are provided by Eurostat.
And I would only add that the analysis focuses on the EU 15. It doesn't extend to the relatively new members of Eastern Europe, which are our special cases for obvious reasons.
What kind of findings did you encounter in terms of the trust people have for their politicians, both national ones as well as the European Parliament?
That suggests that many southern Europeans consider the European Parliament as a more stable institution, a more trustworthy institution than their own national parliaments. The pattern that stand out with regard to trust in national European parliaments are, first, individuals who have a low level of trust in national and European parliaments are more likely to vote for a populist party. Secondly, the trust in European and national parliaments has declined in most countries, two exceptions, Sweden and Germany. Thirdly, southern European countries, plus Belgium and France, all trust the European Parliament more than their own national parliaments, while the opposite is generally true in northern Europe. The pattern is consistent with international survey data we looked at on the quality of government and the functioning of domestic political institutions. In northern European countries, trust in national parliaments is higher than trust in European parliaments. The opposite is the case in southern European countries. Although there was an erosion of trust in both northern Europe as well as southern Europe, in both national as well as European parliaments since the early 2000s, this tendency was such that the erosion in national parliaments was larger than the erosion in European parliaments in southern Europe, while the opposite is the case in northern Europe. Finally, the support for EU integration is greater in Spain and Germany than in other countries. The UK, which is, of course, not surprising, is the country that is least supportive of European integration, and that support that there was has further declined over the last 10, 15 years.
And in addition, it's interesting that there is a good deal of variation within a number of these countries. If you look, for example, at the UK, what jumps out of the data is the extent to which people in the north and Scotland trust the European Parliament relative to the national parliament, and the extent to which the opposite is true in the south and England itself.
And why do you think this is the case?
A speculative answer could be that in many southern European countries, parliaments are not very effective to implement reforms and changes, which often relies on, is explained by the very strong consensus-based nature of the parliamentary systems. So many of the reforms and innovations are actually coming through Europe and through the European Parliament, which explains to some extent a very strong orientation of citizens in those countries towards Europe, and also a very positive impression of what the European parliament is actually achieving for their national economies and countries.
And moving on, what do you find in terms of the support that people have for pro or anti-EU parties?
Well, we look at basically three sets of factors: socioeconomic characteristics of individuals, how old they are, how educated, their gender, cultural or identity variables. One of the advantages of the survey data we use is that it contains a rich set of questions about attitudes that can be distilled into summary measures of how liberal or tolerant a person is, whether they have authoritarian tendencies or not. And third, of course, economic shocks. How much has unemployment risen? How much has per capita income fallen as a result of the financial crisis? There are a lot of findings in the report. I guess the ones that struck me the most were the finding that there is more support for European integration, more trust in the political system, more trust in the European Parliament, for example, on the part of the better educated, but also on the part of the younger, which is quite contrary to what one often hears, that it's older people who remember the lessons of the Second World War who support European integration. To the contrary, we kind of find that the Ryanair effect, that younger people who've been flying around Europe on low-cost carriers for much of their lives tend to be more trusting in the European project and more supportive of European integration. And we find as well that there is a noticeable impact of economic shocks, the extent of unemployment, the depth of the post-financial crisis recession in eroding support for both national and European institutions.
Yes, and that very much mirrors, of course, what we have seen in the Brexit vote, where it is particularly the older generation that voted in favor of Brexit, and younger people who were very much supporting the Remain camp. We also see a strong educational gradient, with better educated people being far more in support for remaining in the European Union, while those with weaker educational background were more inclined to vote for leaving the European Union.
And finally, what would you say are the key policy implications?
Well, as I read it, the policy implications are that the glass is half full. There has been some erosion of trust in European institutions and decline in support for European integration since the financial crisis and in the last few years in particular, but that decline is limited. It's relatively modest. It is pronounced, obviously, in the UK, but not more generally. So I think one implication of the data and our analysis is that people who generalize from Brexit to the rest of Europe are overgeneralizing, that the UK is a bit of an outlier. Number two, our analysis suggests that economic conditions matter. That is modestly reassuring because the European economy is doing better at the moment. And that points importantly to what policymakers can do going forward, which is to maintain the momentum of recovery and growth and take steps to ensure that that growth is broadly shared. Finally, there's the possible implication of the age variable in our analysis, the fact that younger people, when surveyed, tend to be more supportive of European integration. We don't follow the same individuals over time, so we can't be certain that this reflects a cohort effect, that people born since the 1990s are more supportive of a European integration than older people. Maybe they will become more Euroskeptical as they grow older. But if their attitudes now remain their attitudes over time, then I think the survey data and our analysis both suggest that support for Europe will continue to broaden.
What is also important to note is that the deterioration of trust in the European Parliament, which we clearly see in the data, is not something which can be looked at in isolation. It goes hand in hand with a sharp deterioration in trust in national parliaments. Now, that is partly explained by the crisis situation we have seen in many European countries after the Great Recession, the necessity to reform the economic hardship and the disappointment of parts of the population that what they had taken for granted was in fact something far more fragile than what they expected it to be, such as transfers, pensions, etc. Now, we clearly have reached some kind of stage where this crisis situation has come to an end. Many of the reforms in Southern Europe show very positive signs. Europe is growing again throughout basically all countries, and that will clearly contribute to solidify the position of European institutions.
Well then, here's hoping for the future. And you listeners can access the ebook online at voxeu.org. Professors Eichem, Green and Dustman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Raphael.
You're welcome.